Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution. Hello, I'm Andrew McDermott. Today I'm speaking with neurosurgeon Dr. Michael Egnor, professor of neurosurgery and pediatrics at the State University of New York, Stony Brook. Dr. Egnor is an award-winning brain surgeon who has been named one of New York's best doctors in New York Magazine. He also writes regularly for evolutionnews.org. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Andrew.
Well, today I'd like to talk with you about some commentary you recently shared at Evolution News on the origins of the coronavirus. In two different posts, you respond to Darwinist biologist P.Z. Myers' theories on whether the COVID-19 virus was designed or of natural origin. So how does Myers and the authors of recent research in Nature Medicine use the scientific inference to intelligent design to search for and discount human intelligent agency?
Well, they examine particularly the genome of the virus, that is the genetic material inside the virus, and they draw inferences from sequencing the RNA as to whether this is the kind of sequence that tends to arise in nature or whether it is a kind of sequence that tends to be designed by human beings. So really the focus of the research on how the virus arose, that is the question, is it a bioweapon? Was it made in a laboratory and accidentally released? Or did it occur entirely in the natural world, like in the wet markets? That scientific question is being addressed by some really excellent intelligent design research. And it's a very good example of the use of the design inference to understand nature.
Now, you contend that natural selection is a destructive process that destroys biological functional complexity, that it does to living things what rust does to a machine. That doesn't sound like the creative force that many Darwinists believe is responsible for the origin and development of complex life in the universe. Can you tell us more about the selection mutation mechanism and what it actually does in life?
The mechanism that Darwin proposed, I believe, is commonly misunderstood, and it's misunderstood particularly by Darwinists, by people who support Darwin's theory. The misunderstanding is that Darwin proposed that things in nature change by a process of random heritable variation and natural selection. What that means is that it's the proposal that things in nature change by offspring having different heritable characteristics. And there's a differential survival associated with these characteristics. Some offspring prosper and some don't, and that's how populations change. Darwin didn't discover that. That has been a rather trivial observation that has been made as long as man has been on Earth. Farmers and breeders and anyone who paid any attention to nature, even thousands of years ago, realized that things in nature, living things, vary. There are heritable properties that they have. And that they vary in their ability to survive. So none of that is news. And in fact, breeders deliberately used those principles for thousands of years to breed animals. They would look at the offspring in a litter of sheep and pick one that they wanted to propagate that particular trait, and they would breed that particular animal. So none of this is news. What Darwin proposed that was utterly radical was that in nature, there was no breeder. That is, that this whole process happened in nature except without the breeder, that there was no intelligent agency behind this, that this was all random. And of course, no breeder, no person who looked at nature, you know, objectively, would ever say that, well, there's no intelligence behind it. Nature is full of evidence for design and full of evidence for intelligence. But Darwin said, you don't need intelligence. You don't need design. You just need randomness. And randomness alone, through natural selection, can create organisms. That was what was radical. It wasn't natural selection itself. It wasn't the idea of mutation itself, or even their interaction, that was so radical about Darwin's proposal. Darwin's proposal was radical because he took intelligence out of it. He said the whole thing is random. There's no intelligence here. And that's where Darwin was wrong. The virus is a very good example of what randomness can do, in a sense, and I qualify it, in a sense, to a population. The virus is enormously destructive. It kills. It breaks things down. It doesn't build anything. It doesn't create anything new. It just destroys. In a way, it's like rust in a machine. If you have a beautifully tuned machine and you leave it out in the rain for a long time, it gets rusty and it stops working. Well, that's what heritable mutations and natural selection do in nature. They destroy things. They don't build things. So what Darwin basically said was that all living things are the consequence of pandemics, the consequence of these out-of-control, wild, destructive forces. And that's ridiculous. It's scientifically not true. And just common sense says that's nonsense. Mm-hmm. So what Darwin basically is saying is that it was all viruses. It was all pandemics that built living things. And all we see in pandemics is how they destroy living things.
Now, P.Z. Myers sees it differently. No surprise there. He thinks that natural selection is what makes the virus, quote, wildly successful. And you've explained some of it already, but what is his misunderstanding about evolutionary change by undirected processes?
Well, it's kind of interesting. First of all, Myers knows, and I'm surprised that he makes this claim, most biologists believe that viruses aren't even living things. That is, viruses don't generally fit what we would call the category of life. Viruses don't have organs. They don't have physiological systems. They can't reproduce by themselves. They don't have any metabolism of their own. They're really just little pieces of protein and RNA. And again, by most definitions of life, they aren't even alive. So they can't even really evolve, even according to Myers' criteria. So attributing evolution and natural selection to a virus is kind of odd. They're not even a living thing. But viruses clearly propagate. I mean, that's what the whole pandemic is about. What happens is that viruses infect living cells, human cells, bat cells, animal cells, and they take over a part of the cellular machinery of the living thing, and they use the living thing to be a virus factory. That's kind of why they destroy your cells, because they latch on to your cells, their RNA gets into your cell, and it tricks your body's cells to start making more viruses. So viruses depend entirely upon living organisms. They themselves aren't even really a living organism. So viruses depend upon specified complexity of other things. If you just take a virus and put it out on a piece of metal in the sun, it'll die right away. Viruses alone can't replicate. They can't do anything. They need a complex organism to do their work, meaning that they need something that shows specified complexity. They depend upon design in other organisms. Viruses depend on design in nature to evolve. So Myers sort of has it exactly backwards. Viruses don't evolve. Viruses use human beings to reproduce themselves. They use much more complex organisms. Design is necessary for viruses to do what they do.
In your post, you say that without purpose, there can be no chance. Can you expound on that?
Yes, that's a basic metaphysical principle, and it was first proposed by Aristotle. And if you think about it, it's obvious. It's obviously true. What Aristotle said was that he asked, what do we mean by chance or by an accident? What do we really mean by that? And he said, what chance is, it is that it's the unintentional conjunction of design to things. So chance depends on design. If there is no design, there can't be any chance. And the example he gave was a farmer plowing his field, who, while he's plowing his field, he accidentally, just by chance, uncovers buried treasure. There's a treasure chest that somebody who had previously owned the land had buried on the field. And Aristotle said, well, this finding the buried treasure was just by chance, just an accident. He said, but everything else in the story is by design. That is, the person who accumulated the treasure did it intentionally. He intentionally put it in a box. He intentionally buried it on the land. The farmer intentionally plowed his field. And the conjunction of these designed, intentional acts was what made the accident of finding the treasure possible. Every time you think about an accident, think about a car accident where, you know, you go through a traffic light and you run into another car. That's an accident, but everything else is designed. The road you're on is designed. The car is designed. The stoplight's designed. Everything else is designed. Every accident, every chance depends upon a framework of design, because chance or accident doesn't make any sense unless there's something designed on which it occurs. So to say that mutations in nature, for example, are pure chance is not really true. The actual event of the mutation might just be by chance, but everything else about it manifests design. For example, the mutation happens in a gene. And a gene is enormously complex, specified complexity, has all kinds of hallmarks of design. Even the laws of nature that, for example, would guide a photon to hit a molecule in DNA and cause the mutation, even the laws of nature manifest design. So to say that evolution occurs on a substrate of chance, and chance alone, is to misunderstand what chance really is. Chance is, as Aristotle said, the unintentional conjunction of designed things. So if you say that evolution depends on chance, you're admitting that it also depends on design, and you haven't explained where that design came from.
Mm, great analogies there. I really appreciate your thoughts on this. It helps to see this natural thing that's going on within the teleological framework of purpose behind it. So I appreciate you sharing today.
Thank you, Andrew.
To read more of Dr. Agnor's writing on evolution and intelligent design, you can go to evolutionnews.org, click the Writers tab near the top, and choose Michael Agnor. And for more episodes of ID the Future, go to idthefuture.com or subscribe on your favorite podcasts platform. Until next time, I'm Andrew McDermott for ID the Future. Thanks for listening. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.